laugh. Oh,
I get excited. I jumped the gun, but in any case, we are live now. We're not live. Nobody's listening live. I'm saying too much. Let me stop.
Take a breath.
I'm just really, really excited because today on Girl, Have You Read?
Yeah, let's not do it together, please.
Oh, it's not just me and Alex. Not that I don't love Alex, but I'm excited today that we have a very, very, very special guest on what is a very exciting day. Not just for us because we have a guest, but it's a very exciting day for her because today is her release day. Congratulations, Phyllis.
Thank you, ladies. But I'm excited. This is the book of my heart.
But today we are going to be talking with Miss Phyllis Bourne, who is the author of Released Today, Between a Rock and a Hot Mess. And Alex and I have read it, and it is insanely funny,
yes.
And it is sexy, and it is cute, and it is sweet, and it is warm, and it's just a whole lot of really good adjectives that I needed to read in a book.
Desperately. Desperately.
I need it really, really bad. So we put it off until right before we were going to, be talking to you so that everything would be fresh. But now I'm like, okay, we're going to have to do another episode about the book because we can't talk spoilers about the book today because today is release day. We can't give away too much,
is.
But I need to talk about this. But we're going to be good today. Just to get us started, we're going to let you, but we're going to let you introduce yourself and tell us about what you write, and tell us some about Between a Rock and a Hot Mess.
Okay, I'm Phyllis Bourne. I'm a former newspaper crime reporter turned romance novelist. I used to write for the Fort Wayne News Sentinel and the Fort Lauderdale News and Sun Sentinel. I write contemporary romance, mostly offbeat comedies, or as I like to call my books, big, dumb, sexy fun.
I love that.
I do too.
The bottom line, I just love romance novels. When I'm not writing one, I'm usually reading one or listening to them on audiobook. Between a Rock and a Hot Place and a Hot Mess is my first indie release. Before then, all of my other books have been traditionally published, and this is also my 10th year as a published author.
Ooh,
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So what made you get into writing romance? Because it's a lot different than being a crime reporter.
lot different.
Well, I always wanted to write romance. I'm pretty sure I figured that out in college. But once you're in college and you're getting a journalism degree, your parents don't want to hear about some dream to write a romance novel. They want to hear about you going to work.
Right.
And the crime thing, I started off as a general assignment reporter, but I just turned out to be really good at it, to get the story behind the story. Because it's not just always, this was years ago, but it's not about the crime or the horrific thing that happened. It's about how it affects the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of time crime reporters get bad names because they're gone and they're bothering these families in their time of grief. But the truth is, this is the person who's the victim. This is the last time to get their story out there, to let people know that they were something more than a victim or somebody that got hurt or killed. They were somebody's father, somebody's brother, somebody's sister. They were somebody that people loved. And that article is how it gives families a chance to say, this is how I want him remembered. And I'm proud of the work I did as one. It did get to be a little too much towards the end because, you know, you're going to see people at their worst times. And then also you do have I worked in a town, I covered Palm Beach County for the Fort Lauderdale News and Sun Sentinel, and there were like three or four papers covering the same story. So yeah, I've had to talk to try to talk to people outside the funeral home, outside the hospital, and I'm just boo-hoo crying while I'm doing it. But, you know, right. I have to do it. So, and then at other times, I'm taking notes about a plane crash, but in the back, my back pocket is the Viscount Vagabond and all of those kind of.
Well, I bet that was kind of a nice, you know, a nice contrast, you know, between this, you know, this heavy, the heavy grief of these families and just kind of the darkness of that to be able to escape into that world, you know, of, you know, the hero and the heroine. And I bet that was a nice escape to have.
That's why I try. That's why I think that's why I write what I write, you know, fast, funny, sexy, well, mostly funny, more funny than sexy.
I don't know.
My husband's my first reader, and he'll read the love scenes first. And sometimes he'll look, give me the side eye and say, I guess that's just the way you were raised.
That is funny. But oh, okay, so you said that your husband is, you know, you said that that's your, that he's your first reader. He's kind of the first set of eyes on your work other than yours. So with that said, what does your writing process look like? Are you a plotter or a pantser? Do you outline? Kind of how do you set the mood for when you're ready to write? And once that mood is set, where you go from there?
My process is long, slow, and extremely frustrating. I've been a published author for 10 years, and I think this is my 10th book, so that'll show you how slow I am. But I try to look at it as giving you quality over quantity, mm-hmm. but still, it's tough. So officially, I fall into the category of pantsing my ass off. Because I don't know what's going to happen in my books until it happens. I just don't know. But I keep a post-it on my desk, and if you follow me on social media, you've probably seen it. My husband wrote it down, and it says, just tell a good story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my goal. So when I sit down, I try to put all the rules out of my mind, and just even when I'm my traditionally published books, I try not to think about, is this going to fly for this line, or are they going to take this out? And I just try to tell a good story. And like I said, my husband is my beta reader. Basically, he's my only reader before it goes, well, with The Rock and the Hot Mess. He's my only reader. And if I haven't told a good story, he'll kick it back to me and tell me to do it over.
Ooh, is that hard?
Who's had an in-house bae like that?
Yeah, it is. It is kind of hard because he'll say like for instance with A Hot Mess, when I was trying to I'm juggling, it's a love triangle, so it's a heroine and I'm trying to juggle two heroes, and he kicked it back to me and he says, this doesn't read like a hot mess to me. So I have to be in favor of one of the guys and balance things out and show you attracted to the other. And so when I gave it back to him, he said, now this is messy. And I knew I was on track.
That's awesome. That's really, 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 really awesome.
That is. I'm jealous.
Me too. I can't even get mine to, like, he'll let me read love scenes, so he'll do that part. But
no, when he gets, even with my traditionally published work, if he gets off at work at 2 o'clock in the morning and I've got this 200 pages waiting on him, he doesn't drink coffee, he'll say, let me grab a soda and I'll take a look at it. And he actually reads every word.
Oh, that's my love. That's so gold. Awesome. Talk about relationship goals.
Like the emojis with the hard eyes. Like, that's what my face looks like right now. That's amazing.
Well, this year we celebrate, in December we'll celebrate our 30th anniversary. So,
oh, so y'all know what romance
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we know each other.
That's really, 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 really awesome.
Like, I can't stop smiling. Like,
me either. Like, that's so cute.
Okay, let's fan the face a little bit. Here we go. Okay, so to change it up a little bit, yeah, I know you said this was your first project published independently. What made you jump from the traditional published realm to the indie realm?
I wanted to tell a story without a filter, without someone looking over my shoulder. I wanted to have the title I selected, the cover I selected. But when I got my last two covers, because you never know what you're going to get until you get them, I think with Moonlight Kisses, I burst into tears because I was like, a guy with a pink shirt on a lawn chair has absolutely nothing to do with my book. with Heated Moments, they had a guy that looked like and this is just my opinion. I've had some really good covers too. Really good ones but it looked like a hobo kissing a drag queen. Got his clothes all ragged, all messy, looked like he'd been rolling all over the floor, and I think I made fun of it. And I didn't call it Heated Moments. I called Heated Moments Wicked Beauty. And so I wanted to make my own decisions because nobody is going to care about your project as much as you do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Right,
so between a rock and a hot mess, it's all me. I'm the author, I'm the content editor, and I'm the publisher.
You know all about that.
I'm just sitting here with my imaginary church fan.
I'm like my arms open, like welcome you with open arms.
Speaking specifically about Between a Rock and a Hot Mess, who was your favorite character to write in that book? And who was your least favorite?
My favorite to write was Hot Mess's heroine, Riley Sinclair. She was tough. She says all the things most folks really want to say if they weren't afraid of getting their asses kicked. She also had a sweet, vulnerable side that I liked to slip in just when she was becoming a wee bit too obnoxious. My least favorite to write was one of the heroes because when I first started, I didn't know who would get the girl. But by the time I got to maybe chapter 3, I did know. So the one that I knew who wasn't going to get the girl, he was hard for me to write.
Right, because nobody cares about him anymore.
Exactly.
He's in the way.
Yeah, you naturally just want to keep those two on the screen all the time. And it's like, oh, wait, I got this other guy kind of hanging out. I got to bring him in and make him at least a little likable.
But he served a need for her, something in her that felt like she wanted that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to make him a bad guy because he wasn't a bad guy.
Right. He just wasn't he wasn't the right one for her. And I just almost completely gave a spoiler. So I'm trying to remember. Right, trying to remember, wait, it's a love triangle, you can't say which one. But.
So did you have any real life inspirations for any of these characters? Or were they all just kind of, ooh, I want to write about a tough and witty girl? Or
not so much the characters, but some of the scenes were based on real life. For example, the bowling scene, that's out of real life.
Which is adorable, by the way.
Instead of the sexy take it had in the book, it had more of a edgy, competitive take in real life.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can imagine that.
Where you just press the other person's buttons because you want to win. Kiss the Ring is real life. Shut up, if you all remember that part. That's real life. Because my husband, we can be somewhere and I'm just blah, 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 blah. And he can say in a minute, just shut up and look pretty. And anybody else would probably just go after him and I just start smiling like I'm in a beauty contest. So that was also real life, based on real life.
That's really, really sweet. Mm-hmm. So what do you hope that people get from, like, is there a type of, like a message overall that you hope that people get from reading Between a Rock and a Hot Mess, and not just Between a Rock and a Hot Mess, but just kind of all of your books in general? Is there a takeaway that you want readers to have when they pick up something that you wrote?
First of all, I always want them to be swept away into my big, dumb, fun world, and I want them to be entertained. All of my books have a takeaway. Something that you can use because I feel like fiction teaches us how to live. So there's always a takeaway. Mm-hmm. Hot Mess, the takeaway is sometimes all you ever wanted is right in front of your face. With my last book, Heated Moments, which you both read, the takeaway was the more you love your decisions, the less you need others to love or co-sign on those decisions. Ooh,
that's another word.
Preach. Both hands.
So there is always a takeaway.
So since you do have so many books out, do you read the reviews that people list, that people leave, or have you ever had to respond to a review, good or bad?
Every time authors say they don't read their reviews, I kind of give them the side eye, and I say, you're right. I read everyone, but good or bad, I never, ever respond. Never. Mm-hmm. You spend your money, and you invest your time in a story. You have the right to your opinion, whether I like it or not, and you have a right to voice it. It probably makes me angry. I'll probably get pissed initially, but mostly I feel bad that I disappointed somebody. Not just so, because of the money, because time is so short. You can't get your time back. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get it and I disappointed you, I feel bad. But no, either way, I won't respond.
That's good. Well, it just makes me think of that lady that went to that reviewer's house and all of that. And I'm like, what are you doing?
wait.
You don't remember that?
No.
It was like last year or the year before or something like that. Like there was this woman who she went to this review. She was upset by the review that was left. And the reviewer was like a popular reviewer or whatever. And she found out that woman's address and went to her house.
All over some words. Like, y'all gotta chill.
Like, it never gets that serious ever. But I like what you said. You know, you spend your money. You have the right to have your opinion. I may not like it. And I may have some words about your opinion, but you can have it. I'm not going to talk directly to you, though. Like, that's what friends are for. You go, and do you see what this girl left on my book? Do you see this? Can she read? But, okay, for any aspiring authors who may be listening, I know you've been traditionally published. You've been, and now, you know, with the release of Between a Rock and a Hot Mess, you've been self-published. And like you said, you've been at this, you know, you have some years in the game. What has your biggest lesson or mistake been on your journey? You know, something that was a particular turning point for you, something like that.
Well, first of all, if you're aspiring, if you decide to go with a publisher, my biggest advice would be, and it's one of the takeaways, I think, in my book, Sweeter Temptation. Know your worth and don't settle for less than you deserve to see your book in stores, because remember that publishing is a business. It's not a sorority. Look out for yourself and know your worth. Regret wise, yeah, I had some regrets, but I also think that everything happens for a reason. You know that saying, you have to have gone through some shit to know some shit.
True.
And if it wasn't for what I've gone through, I don't think I'd be able to write the high caliber of stories that I believe I write now. So I wouldn't change, even though I do have those regrets, I wouldn't change anything.
I think that's awesome. I think that's, you know, that's a great place to be in, know, to be able to see the lesson, you know, in the things that you've gone through and be able to see how it has enriched your life, you know, not just thinking about the negative aspect of it.
Yeah. My first publisher, I had an amazing editor, and she, working with her on two books and a novella, was like getting a doctorate in romance, right? She was amazing. My second publisher, because I had been published before, I learned how to edit myself. So learning those things along the way, I wouldn't take anything from my journey.
So going forward, are you going to stay on the indie side, or do you think you'll go back to traditional?
I think I'm going to stay on the indie side. It's a lot more work, because you have to do everything yourself, but then you can have everything the way you want it and the way you want it packaged for your readers and make it a good, smooth reading experience for them, because that's who matters.
So what would you say is the hard? I know you said it takes a long time, but what would you say is the hardest part about writing?
I'm easily distracted. Sitting down and actually doing it, resisting the urge to, you know, when you work at home, you can get up and go to Target whenever you feel like it. When I'm on deadline, and this both for my indie book and my traditionally published book, my husband has actually slept on the floor of my office to make sure I stay at my desk.
Oh my God.
But he also has to keep one eye open so I won't sneak out because I think, hey, he's snoring. I'm good. I'm getting ready to step right over him, make me some coffee, check, you know, check social media. Then I'll feel his hand reach out and grab my ankle. Where you going?
Oh, I love that so much.
I know. That is like so, oh my.
So that's the hard part. If I sit down and do it, even if I don't know anything that's going to happen in the book, somehow it gets written.
I need that. Okay. I need somebody on my floor.
Right.
Oh, I get up in a quick second.
What? I will go. Like you said, I will go to Target. I will go grocery shopping. I will do everything, things that could honestly wait. But it's like, you know that you shouldn't be procrastinating, but it's like you can't help it.
It's like, hey, look, candy. You even want to do the laundry, all of these things. And even when the house, but then by the time you say, okay, I'm going to sit down and write. When I went grocery shopping, took care of all the laundry, cleaned up the house, and then by then, you're too tired to write.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to chill out, yep. That's so true.
And so you have successfully procrastinated the day away. Switching gears a little bit again, how important is Black romance to you? Not romance, specifically Black romance. Two Black main characters, just so that we're being clear. I'm not even going to specify man or woman. Two Black main characters, you know, we're seeing their journey, you know, of their relationship, you know, how important is it to you to see that? Not just romance, but Black romance.
Well, I write Black romance because I like them Black. I mean Black. The only thing that my guy can do for me is just introduce me to his dark-skinned friend.
Listen,
this Phyllis Warren is giving a word.
So, and I think it's important for us to read about ourselves, stories of Black men and women loving, needing, and especially cherishing each other. Mm-hmm. I come from a time when you so seldom saw a Black person on television that you yelled loud enough for every person in the house to hear, there's somebody Black on TV. You know, after that time, when our stories weren't being told in romance novels, and I didn't see myself in romance novels, and I had to somehow imagine myself in a story where, and block out the heroine's long flowing blonde hair and his freckled face or whatever. And so now coming from that, I still hoard stories on my Kindle like somebody's going to take this all away. It's still very special to me. And so that's why I write Black romance.
You're not going to get any disagreement. Any disagreement here, because I mean, I think that Alex and I are kind of both of the same opinion. Nothing against quote unquote mainstream romance, white romance or interracial romance, whatever, but it's just exactly like you said, it's not that often, even now, it's not very often that we get to see, you know, Black couples healthy, loving on each other. And so in the limited time that I have to read, I like to read romance. And, you know, when I pick it up, I want to support Black romance because I feel like it's underserved. And so that's what I consume. That's where my dollars go because I feel like it's important for us, exactly like you said, to see each other loving on each other. I want to see myself too.
Yeah, and I think that there's enough out there, especially with the explosion of indie, which I think has just opened things up and made it so everybody can have their story and see themselves. So the Black couple can see themselves, the interracial couple can see themselves, just the Asian couple can see themselves. That everybody can see themselves.
Like, think about all the stories that we wouldn't, you know, that we wouldn't hear or that we wouldn't see. You know, I think about, like, Between a Rock and a Hot Mess, you know, not that it was just dripping with crazy stuff or anything like that, but it's like, as I was reading, I was thinking about, you know, a traditional publisher, mm-hmm. this they wouldn't let her do this.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't let her do that. You know, it's like as I was reading it, and the story is great. Like, the story is perfect like it is. And it, I just remember thinking at one point, I'm so glad she did this. You know, I'm so glad that she did this independently, you know, so that I can read this story like this, mm-hmm. How she wrote it down, you know, how she wanted it, you know, to be presented.
And that was the thing, like, I felt like I could feel your personality. Like, mm-hmm. like in the other ones, like, it's funny and it's witty and traditional publishing, but this one was like, oh, Phyllis is hilarious. Like, she is crazy. I felt that. I'm glad you did it, too.
Thank you.
So what's next, Miss Phyllis? Where do you see yourself? Are you going to continue to put out books? Do you even see your books on a TV screen?
Now, I would love, you know how we have these long-range dream goals, and I would love to see one of my books on the big screen. Any of the ones that I've written, I would love, especially Hot Mess. I would really like that.
That would be hilarious.
It would.
I will buy a ticket now. I want to see the TV show. Like, that's not a spoiler, is it? Yeah, I think.